Wright in the beginning of the visit with Rick and Suzanne at lunch this Thursday, the 16th of September, 71. Channel 1 Wright on this new reel and beginning of the visit with Rick and Suzanne this Thursday at noon, the 16th of September, 71. Channel 1 Wright and beginning of a new reel, beginning of the visit with Rick and Suzanne this Thursday at lunch, the 16th of September, 71. Channel 1 Wright. And beginning the visit with Rick and Suzanne at lunch. This Thursday, the 16th of September, 79. Channel 1 Wright. And beginning the visit with Rick and Suzanne at lunch. This Thursday, the 16th of September, 71. Nick took the Ajax off this morning in his truck. And this is reporting. Trying to wind up the summer. Beginning of the visit with Rick and Suzanne at lunch this Thursday at lunch, the 16th of September,
79. Yeah. You think Miss Mary feels better?
Oh, yeah. She's feeling good. She said she's feeling poorly. But she said, but I'm feeling better. And I stood there a minute. She said, do you want some supper? Marvin came through the kitchen right then. And I said, no, I've already eaten, but I'll sit here and talk to you a while. Marvin came through and she said, we're cutting hay. And I said, well, do you need some help? Poor Rick, you're already into it. Right the first. Marvin says, that's mean work. And he put on his hat and she said, told Miss Mary, she said, he asked her if she'd be on over. She said, yes, yeah, she'd come right on over. He hadn't any more walked out the door. She turned around and she said, you know, men are just helpless. They can't do anything for themselves. I don't know what they'd do without women. She said, they can't even go to the Johnny without us having to come along and wipe their tails.
Suzanne, you just pull the best out of people.
I Miss Mary.
She never talks straight to me. I like that.
And you know that's the way she talks.
No, I'm sure it is. Well,
you do know that it is. Yeah.
Sure it is. Yeah. That's their talk.
She just come right out and say it.
Sure.
Yeah, just, you know, just kind of, she just thinks that's funny. And she just the way she thinks of it. She, when we went over to see Christine Polk, I guess it is, I asked about... they had this kind of conversation back and forth across the yard. Miss Mary's at the truck and Christine was in the door about the mullet coming in. Dorsey was going to have some mullet. Miss Mary said, well, she'd like 5 pounds. So we got off and I started thinking, well, Dorsey, is he the one that lives over there by that road in the Shirley Docks?
No.
No, well, it wasn't. That's a box knife.
But it's just a little piece down in the trailer.
Yeah. She said, no, no, that's the bulk knife. I said, well, they fish too, don't they? And she looked at me and laughed. She said, yeah, that's all they do, fish and make moonshine. That's all they've ever done, make moonshine and fish.
You never had her say that to you.
No, sir.
So, anyway, so we drove on, but while we were still in the kitchen there, she's telling me about the doctor. And she said, come here, I want to show you something. She said, the other day, I was in the bed, lying down, and the phone rang, and I got up to answer it. And I want to show you where I ended up. She said, and we walked in the little part of the kitchen there, over by Marvin's chair, between the couch and the stove. And she says, now you tell me how I ended up over here. And I said, well, Miss Mary, what happened? She said, I fell 4 times. I'd get up, and it seemed like my feet just go right out from under me. My legs would just give way. And she said, and the fourth time, I just said, now you just got
now she
to get
wasn't
up.
Sorry for herself.
Oh, no. She just, well, she just, you know, just this big voice and lively and moving around. And she moves kind of slow, but she just, there wasn't any whining or anything in it.
Yeah.
She just kind of started off with that about Marvin being helpless, and it kept on in that character. And she said, I just told myself I got to get up. So she finally made it up and sat in the chair. The next day she told Marvin she just had to go see Dr. Gibney down in Ocala. And she went to him and said, she relates just exactly what she says. I says to him.
Oh, you know
he says to me.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Just exactly. And I can't remember exactly, but she said, I said to him, I've been to the doctors, and I've been all around Gainesville, and I've been in the hospital, and I've been to Dr. Daly, and I'm no better, and I just, let's see, and they can't find what's wrong with me. And I've been to a specialist, and I just came to cry on your shoulder. Dr. Gibney said, well, let me see your medicine. So she handed him all her medicine. She took it with her. And he looked at it and came back a little bit and said, now, you've got the shingles and a flare-up of arthritis. And all this medicine isn't doing you any good. I want you to keep on taking these, but the rest of it you can just throw away. And I'll give you a shot, and you can come back Thursday. And so she said, so he gave me a shot, and I started feeling better. I went back Thursday, and there was a nurse there. He wasn't there, and the nurse gave her another shot. And she's still feeling better, so she called him Saturday, and he said, well, it looks like I'm going to have, you should only have one a week, but it looks like I'm going to have to go ahead and give you more. So you come back Thursday. So she's going back to get another shot. But she says, I am feeling better.
Oh, I called her one morning, Suzanne, and she said she was just feeling terrible. And she said she had been up all night. And you know the way I do. I said, what do you do when you get up all night? Isn't that so cool? And she told me. And you know, she felt such pain. And as she told it there, she just started crying. It hurts bad. So she'd been in pain. Now,
yeah.
You say
now, the way she told me, there wasn't any, that was over. So
yeah.
She said she had the shingles. Well, her head itched. It's so bad, it'd like to kill me. And she scratched it and scratched it. She got sores up along her forehead, along the hairline. She looks at me, you know, she gets this kind of sideways look. And you know, I went to Dr. Daly, and he wouldn't pay any mind to that. He wouldn't even listen to me. So, he didn't do anything about the itching. So Dr. Gibney told her it was the shingles and gave her something to put on the sores. And she said, now the only thing wrong is my side hurts. It's just sore. And we got in that truck and drove over there, and I could see why. You know, she can barely see over the steering wheel, and that truck is real bouncy. And just, we went in this long, long road back through the pine woods, just two tracks and trees right up against it, you know, and she's in and out and trying to drive through it in third gear, which was too slow. Just back and forth and up and down. I said, well, no wonder you're slouching. She said, yeah. She said, it's no wonder. And that's when we drove over to Christine to see if her boy was home.
Yeah.
And
that'll help in the hay.
Yeah, to help in the hay. She said, you know, you just can't sit around on your butt and wait for somebody to come help you. She said, when that hay's there, you just got to get it in.
You know, she sort of cries about that, but I believe if she had a little vigor like she's seemingly getting back now, she'd get somebody to help that hay.
Yeah, I think so. Well, she drives a tractor. She'd drive a tractor for Marvin.
Well, I never heard of that. And the reason is?
Just yesterday.
But she wouldn't do like things?
No. She wouldn't walk around behind and help you fix things. She wouldn't help Marvin fix things. She'd drive a tractor, but that's it.
My face sits on the baling ties or not.
Yeah, I know.
And she wouldn't do that.
Good thought. She just said she wouldn't walk around behind Marvin and do things.
That's the same way to go.
And she said it's pretty strong.
Yeah, well, when we were standing there and she said, we'll have to ask Marvin about getting Rick. Marvin said, well, they're expecting some help around 4 o'clock. But Marvin said, you all do what you think. Miss Mary just shook her head. She said, uh-uh. She said, that's not going to be my decision.
That's one of the finest things she said. Uh-uh. She said, so, George.
And there you go.
She shook him at me, so I'm going to
Oh, geez.
Well, now, that's, she's back in her vigor.
Yeah.
Suzanne. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? You give them up and think you'll never see it again. And I'll swear to goodness if they don't come back. It's just like a resurrection.
That's right.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. You see, there's nothing wrong with her. I mean, she's got a lot of health and vigor.
Oh, yeah.
If she can just get over that pain, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But she's not eat up with anything. Now, you took a trip of cookies.
Yeah, he was by here. He was by here 2 nights ago when that rig picked up your cows. Oh, is he proud of that rig?
Suzanne hadn't heard a word of this, you see.
No, he came in. He came in about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, you and I were just going down to bring the cows up.
Yeah, that's right.
Late.
You know,
and we heard that rattle of an old cow.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know something was falling down here or something. And. we come up and there he was, you know. And he's got this big 68 Ford pickup, nice, pretty blue, and a trailer in the back, just as clean. And I mean, I looked at that and I thought, well, where could he get this? You know, even if he got one, it wouldn't look that good. You look at that Cadillac. I mean, he drives Cadillac, but it's so beat up. And that rig was just as nice. So he wanted to take the cattle in that night. And I wasn't particularly excited about that because it was 8 o'clock and it'd be late before we got in.
Yeah, sorry for
it.
Sorry.
But he was determined to take him in. Yes sir. I've moved many cattle now. Yes sir. And it's nice cool like this and I can't see where they're going. They're just easy to handle. So we ended up moving cattle. We decided to take those cows first, and we got the 3 cows.
Mm-hmm.
So we backed that truck up there, and so you know how that V there, if the cows stick their head through, we opened that up and then put a gate so that when they come through the V, they couldn't get out. Opened up the chute, backed the truck up, and got the chute adjusted, ready to go, start chasing the cows up. Well, what we did was get the 2 smallest ones first, see. Which just wasn't the thing to do.
Yeah. Then the big one wouldn't go in.
And once we got him in there, a guy's standing there just cussing at those cows, and they just turn around and back up to him and let him have it.
We had to go to the laundry.
Just covered. And then we come up with that last cow. And I mean, she was so fat, when we got to that V, she just wouldn't go through. And I just said, well, no, we got a problem. So you got behind her, squished her on through.
Yeah.
And we got up that ramp, guy standing up there on top, and those other 2 cows were like, they were coming to see what happened, so they stand there right in front, and we couldn't get that cow in. The guy's cussing, and Cookie's cussing, and I'm hitting the cow with the board, and they're pushing and pushing, and she'd move an inch, and she'd stop, and she'd back up. And then she'd move an inch, and so Cookie got behind her, and I don't know what Cookie did, but all of a sudden, she went in that trailer.
Yeah, and you slammed
the door. Yeah, slammed it just like that. Locked it up. And Cookie and I got in the truck and off we went.
Yeah, I was supposed to go with him, but I said Rick probably would like to go.
Yeah, he was standing there around. I says, "You okay?" He says, "Am I okay? Well, just smell me." He was just covered.
Cookie line.
You were.
Oh yeah.
Cookie came out.
Yes.
Clean.
Yeah.
He had boots on.
Didn't have a.
He had a
well, he don't show it if he gets it on him. He puts it away in a convenient spot, yeah. Doesn't let you know. And he got in the truck, of course, first thing he did is lit up his cigar.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't have it while you were moving the cattle.
Yeah, he was all, had his hat on, you know, nice shirt and pants. But I couldn't believe that. He got behind the cow and pushed and never got a bit on it. So we got in the cow, in the truck.
So now, on this, you were going to try out your rattler.
Yeah. I figure I got a captive audience here. I got a truck around us. Cookie and I going in town and get something done. So we took off down the road, and I started talking about that truck. And he was right proud of that truck, because he just driving.
You get out real far back, you see. You ought to lean over if you're going to do anything.
He come down the road there.
Get your balance forward there.
And he drove the truck like that trailer was just nothing back there.
Yeah.
And that truck starts slipping all over the road.
Oh.
I mean, you know, not a lot, but I can feel it starting to go. Uh-huh. He's got that trailer back there. And old Cookie is, well, come on now, truck, you just settle down here and stay on the road. And it did. And he just like that trailer was part of his life back there. Just kept right on going. We got out the road. And I'm talking.
And he doesn't take any chances on it. He fastens them.
You notice, yes, he does fasten the. He checks that back end.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. He's sure about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when he starts driving, he drives.
Yeah, we drove down to Ocala with him one time. Straight as an arrow.
We went on down the road, and you know when those cattle start moving around, you can feel them shifting. So he's coming downhill, and he just starts pumping the brakes. And I didn't know what he was doing. You know, I thought, well, we got to turn here or something. Then he stops. And the truck's rocking back and forth. I said, "Cookie, what you doing?" So I just quieted him down, and he did. They just stopped moving.
He's seeing the right smart, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing, and he was like king of the road in that truck.
Yeah.
He was just as proud driving. It was so nice and clean inside. And I had to get in because my boots were all covered with manure, and his was too. He just opened up the ashtray and pulled out a cigar and started smelling the place up. And then he rolled down his window and turned the air conditioner on full blast. And we just go singing down the road like that. So I was talking to him. First he had to start telling me about his family and all his problems with his wife. And all the misunderstandings. So I'm just sitting there, every time I've been, you know, with him, he starts through that. So I let him run through that.
You were the captive then.
Yeah, there's not much I can do but go, uh-huh. So we went on down. I was asking about the market because I don't know anything about it. And asking when they sell because we were taking them down for Monday market.
Wednesday market.
Yeah. Wednesday. Yeah.
It's Tuesday night.
Lost some days. And he's telling me they they sell on Monday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, well, don't you have to be there for selling? He says, no, they'll take care of it. And I go, well, now we're going down this late at night, and the market's not till tomorrow. And he's telling me, if you want price, you go this time. You take them in the night before, because if you wait late, you're tail end when the selling comes, and you just don't get any price.
Oh, I see. They just come and take them as they come.
Yeah, I guess first come, first serve.
Yeah, Marvin, don't you know, he said, Marvin takes his in the night before.
Uh-huh.
And they'll feed them for you if you tell them to.
They will.
Oh, yeah. And actually, you don't have to put them in a store. You put them in a shed over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll pick them. And he said to me, he says, you know, when we were talking about out there, he wanted to take them, and I was holding back. He says that's the way Marvin gets big prices for woods cattle.
Yeah, yeah. Took them in early.
And I said, well, I'm damn cooking. Yeah, I got these beautiful steers, and they don't always get the bottom price. Go along with it.
Yeah. But the pricing on those, he's telling me, see, it was like an auction. See, I didn't know how they sold them. He's telling me they have like a ring, and they bring them out and auction them off. And you can have a different price for every cow. Different price. And that could change. And then, you know, you have good days and you have good markets and not. And I asked him, you know, can you get a price that you want? And he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll bargain for him. Just like that. I'll bargain for him. And I said, well, if you're not getting the price you want, he says, well, I'll just take them home. And I've done that many times. I'll just take them right home if I don't get what I want and bring them back next time.
In control.
Yeah, he's got that control.
Oh, when you all came back, he told me that it's already half filled with cows.
Yeah.
And he says most of them was from the Monday auction.
Yeah, yeah. What
they bought them and just left them there. I'm going to speculate on them.
Mm-hmm. You buy them on a Monday and leave them. I don't take them home, just leave them.
That's what Cookie likes, is it? Speculating, you know, buying a cow here and figuring out how much he can get on the market the next day or so if you keep them and feed them up for a while.
That's what he wants to do. Well, that's what he says he wants to do. He was going to get him 10 head of cattle this fall and put them out here and get him about $1,000 saved up and then start speculating like that on the market and make his money. I don't know about Cookie. I think he enjoys talking about a lot.
I'm going to tell you, we got to get rid of Miss City. Yes, I stood down there and watched Ajax on that little truck. Nick had four little posts at each corner. Little soft wood posts.
Mm-hmm.
And it had two pieces of timber, boards, nailed, but they were nailed on the outside. And Ajax, it was about up to his hip.
Yeah.
He looked down over the cabin. Nick's a pretty good driver, and he took these little where the lane's not level, you see, go over, and Ajax would sort of go with it, and Nick would take it easy there by the little cedar tree. Got out of here where it was low. Ajax almost had to duck his head. Went on down with those two big horses on the side, and they neighed all the way. Missy and the others, his old buddies, you see, on that side. And I could hear Missy neighing all up to the far corner. It was right there. And I just thought, they were in charge. I helped them. It was the first time I'd had a chance to feel sad. And Lord, I don't know how long. I'm always doing the pushing, you see. Mm-hmm. Bubba was there at that gate. Ajax was quiet. And he was just straining all the time. He was talking, he's turning around and putting his head down and throwing it. And there, little Ajax. Going out front lane. I put in a good bit more than that, but no use to it now. I didn't know this most of my life. I thought I could just look on and see things. But the way it turned out, I never saw anything. And I'd read a book and I'd say, well, I don't know how they see so much. I can't see it all. I can appreciate it after they see it. And it's just reasons, you see, that I have found that you have to learn to see, and that in order to see, you have to look. I used to think, you know, you could just be on the sidelines and observe. Well, that's it. Jewish insanity, sort of thing. But now, You gotta clear the deck. You gotta disengage. And these days, to see this.